Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Good day, grace and peace from God our Father. Welcome to Salvation and Faith. This is the Revelation Creation Faith course. This course and all our weekly courses are free. However, we do accept donations via our website at salvationandfaith.org or through Zelle at 929-420-6605. What we will try and do today is cover the first three chapters of Genesis. Let's begin. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. It has taken me a long time to get to a place where I have some satisfaction with the way that I understand these verses. To be clear, in the beginning is God. Now, this is not the beginning of God. This is God being in the beginning, meaning that God is in everything that he has created. This beginning is the beginning of the natural world, the natural realm. This natural realm is created in eternity. God doesn't leave where he is and go someplace and make the world. He is where he is in eternity, and he creates the heaven and the earth and places them into the natural realm. If you look at your Bible, depending upon which translation, you have an S at the end of that first heaven, and yours would read, "God created the heavens and the earth." He created one heaven at this point, and not the heaven where he is. He created the heaven where he places the earth. From the outset, the very first words speak to the awesome, mighty power that is God. God is giving his position in relation to his creation. God is in everything as either the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. God is in the beginning, and this is not his beginning. There are three heavens. The third heaven is where he is. The second heaven is where the earth is. The first heaven is what we breathe, the air that surrounds us, the atmosphere, as we would call it. It's important to understand that there's this whole perspective of science versus religion, and it's just a misdirection, a deception brought into the world because the Bible itself is full of science. We must understand that when God created the heaven and the earth, and since it was formed outside of the natural realm, it was not affected by the laws of the natural realm until it was placed in the natural realm. And so, well, he created it and placed it in that heaven. Now it's in the natural realm, although it still is not subject to the natural laws of time. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed." Job 38, verses 1 to 11. When the Bible says that the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, we must understand that God had created a world, created something that is good. To understand these two we really need to read on to verse 9, which tells us that the waters, which is the deep, are gathered together in one place and the dry land is allowed to appear. Now, we can understand verse 2 to mean the land was without shape and was covered by water. You must picture it, that the land is coming up out of the water, that the water is above the land and below the land so that the dry land can appear. This water is moving up above the atmosphere and some of it staying below the earth. This is what is talked about in the next few verses where the firmament comes into place, which is the heaven we breathe, the birds flying. I must explain this back and forth since there is so much that is covered within these first five verses that explains a great deal of what goes on in the rest of the Bible. The water is held in place by the heaven that is all around it. This second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. This Genesis, this beginning, impacts everything else that is in the Bible. We must understand that the creation of the earth has at the very least a purpose. The plan of salvation. For everything that God created in this beginning, the actual placing in motion of the plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When God said, let there be light, now we must jump all the way to the fourth day and recognize that on the fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and so forth. If that's the case, what is this light? Go through scripture, search out scripture, and I strongly recommend that's exactly what you do. Go to God and do the research. Go to God and get answers. This light is God bringing the light of Jesus into the natural realm. It's not the creation of Jesus, because we know what John says about Jesus being the Word and being in the beginning and being God. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God is the Holy Spirit. They're one. They always were, always will be. This light is the light of Jesus to shine into the world. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. What is this darkness? It says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. How did that happen? What I've come to believe is that the earth again was created in eternity and placed in the newly created natural realm, which we call heaven, outer space. The picture I see is the earth in heaven, surrounded by water, and this earth is well made. It is formed. It has form and is not void. Then there's war in heaven. Lucifer becomes Satan, cast out of heaven, and this causes the earth to become formless, void, and dark. Now, going back to trying to understand some of the reasoning why things happen the way that they happen. Again, it's the plan of our salvation. We recognize that God knows the choices that we are going to make as individuals and as humans before he created. Yes, knowing what we were going to do. Therefore, this whole plan must be put in place so that as we walked away from God, there would be a way for us to walk back to him. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning, and the end. The end is in the beginning, and the beginning is in the end. The three combined together, the beginning and the end, and then the belief that there is this beginning and end gives us our faith. Okay, let's get back to it. Lucifer is cast out, and this causes the earth to become formless, void, and dark. And so now we have the Holy Spirit hovering. Now we understand the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The word is spoken, and thereby activating the Holy Spirit, causing the manifestation of the creative force. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. Now, keep in mind that all that goes on is for our benefit. It is for our salvation. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. All of that is basic and is understood, and there's very little dispute about it, although a lot of what we read in chapters 1, 2, and chapter 3 have been used by various political factions for their own political agendas and for their own political purposes. For instance, this argument about science and religion is only because some people don't want to see the science in the Bible. Some believe in themselves. They don't believe in God, so therefore there is nothing that God did. And therefore, the only explanation is that it just happened, that there was nothing, and then it just happened, which doesn't make any kind of sense when you really think about it. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. In the King James Version in chapter 1, verse 5, the words day and night are capitalized, capital D, capital N. In verse 14, they are not capitalized. I just want to point that out. Now, we have the moon in place, the sun in place, and so forth. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Awesome. Totally awesome. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to give and to divide the light from the darkness. What happens on the first day and what happens on the fourth day sounds like it's repeating. It sounds as if he's going into it in more detail as to what happened. And it's almost tempting to say, yeah, that's right. Except for these points. The capitalization of day and night. He's telling you that on the fourth day, he made these greater and lesser lights. He made the stars also. He's telling you that on the fourth day, he made them so that they would be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. In essence, the beginning of time, natural time. Natural time is not for God, not for the angels. We must recognize what God is doing. Why is it like this? That darkness, that void, that formlessness. When he cast Satan out and placed the demonic forces here on earth and limited them to earth, except for when he calls Satan to come before him. All of this, again, is exemplifying what God is doing for us, the plan of salvation. Now we can keep track of where we are by time in terms of our relationship with him, in terms of us getting back to him. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. The first verse of chapter 2 explains this word heaven. Verse 1 of chapter 2 has an S at the end of it, where chapter 1, verse 1, there is no S. In the beginning, God created the heaven. Somewhere, he created another And that's exactly what it says. Then that firmament he called heaven. So now there are two heavens. He created the one that he placed the earth in, and then the one that he placed around the earth. And those two heavens are separated by water. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. Recognize that God had not caused it to rain, and God doesn't cause it to rain until there's a flood to cover the whole earth. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. There is a garden in Eden. Just as God had placed the earth in his place, he placed man in his place in a garden that is towards the east of Eden. Chapter 2 is not, as some people want to say, another creation story. It's not. It's an explanation. As you go through the whole Bible, the one thing that is difficult for people to understand is the biblical timeline. The chronological Bible was developed because we want it to read like a novel. We want to read chapter 1 and then chapter 2 and build the whole story all the way through until we get to the end. But that's not the way that the Bible works. The Bible bounces back and forth here and there from the beginning to the end, in the middle, and all kinds of ways to get you to read the whole thing many times for your growth and development. That's the whole purpose. You must study it to get all that he has for you. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. A lot of people point to this as one of the reasons why they dispute that there even is a God, because Adam and Eve didn't drop dead when they ate. God was not talking about the physical death. They died spiritually right then and there. Physically, they died in one day, because one day is 1,000 years and none of them lived that long. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Now we must understand God made them and put them in the garden to tend the garden. The original ministry, the original church begins with Adam's relationship to God. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. In Genesis chapter 2, 21 through 25. Says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.'" In Genesis 3, verse 1. "Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' Read 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9. We can understand the serpent. The animal is possessed by the devil in the garden, walking and talking with Adam and Eve. When did he get there? Before Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Now we see what really happened. The spiritual death caused them to act on the wickedness in their heart. You can do certain things and God would know. Then you can hide from God. You can go ahead and commit sin over and think God wouldn't know about it. This is the spiritual blindness. You're blinded. You're dead to the spirit. You don't have what God gave you. You are separated. But God has the plan in place. The reality is God had the plan of salvation in place. He knew Adam and Eve would do this thing. You know that your kids are going to touch the hot stove. They're always hanging around the kitchen. The smells attract them. The first aid kit is nearby. Automatically, you have what you need to help. This is what God has done. He's created a way for us to get from this spiritual blindness, this spiritual death, this life in the carnal, back into eternity. He created the earth in eternity and placed it in the natural. What is he going to do in the book of Revelation? At the end, he's going to take the earth out of the natural and put it back into eternity. God knows that you're going to do the wrong thing. He's made a way for you to find the way back to him, and you can do the right thing each and every time. Choose God, choose life. He continues that whole process all the way through to the end. A lot of people think of the 1,000 years living with Jesus is for the saints. It's not. It's another opportunity to choose God. It's another chance. The saints will reign with him for 1,000 years. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 through 24. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And sorrow shall bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove the man out, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is the promise of the Messiah. God wants all of mankind to live a holy life. The punishment placed on Eve was not God using men to oppress women. To rule over doesn't mean oppression. Look at the relationship between the sun and the moon. The relationship between the sun, the moon, and God has a plan for salvation. To rule over ensures that the man is the covering of the woman and his family. Man is responsible to God. Adam said, "You gave her to me." Should this be your response? No, it's your responsibility. He gave her to you. And unto Adam, he said, "Because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife." Adam ignored God and did what Eve, his wife, said, and ate of the tree, which brought death into the world. To exemplify how much of the beginning is in the end, thorns and thistles in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, are what are used to make the crown for Jesus. Also, the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed Adam and Eve, the first sacrifice for the covering of sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." The tree of life is moved out of the reach of men so that we won't eat from it and live forever in our sin. We will eat from the tree of life, but only after we've been moved back into eternity. The whole plan of salvation is because of what Lucifer did. Knowing what Lucifer is going to do as Satan, and knowing what Adam and Eve were going to do, and all the rest of us, the demonic spirits were here and influenced, oppressed, or possessed everybody except for 8 people. We know the earth is temporary. It's just going from eternity to eternity. God is being patient. He wants everything to be reborn, going from a place of sin into a place with no sin. That includes all of creation. There will be no sin. You must believe. You must accept Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. The things that we do, we can't do and blame God. Blame him because we decided to listen to the serpent and his subtlety? No. If we do these things, then repent. I urge you to study the Bible for yourself and show yourself approved unto God. Amen. Amen.